Right, over to you, Andrew.
Thanks. Good morning, everybody, on the fourth Sunday after Trinity. In the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. O Lord, open our lips, and our mouth shall proclaim your praise. Blessed are you, sovereign God, creator of all. To you be glory and praise forever. You founded the earth in the beginning, and the heavens are the work of your hands. In the fullness of time, you made us in your image, and in these last days, you have spoken to us in your Son, Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh. As we rejoice in the gift of your presence among us, let the light of your love always shine in our hearts, your Spirit ever renew our lives, and your praises ever be on our lips. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Blessed be God forever. And the refrain during our prayer of confession is, Forgive us when we let them down. Lord God, it is easy to ask you to bless others, but not to bless them ourselves. Forgive us when we let them down. To ask for encouragement for others, but not to encourage them ourselves. Forgive us when we let them down. To take others for granted, and not to acknowledge their worth or affirm their efforts. Forgive us when we let them down. To talk the talk, but not show faith in action or hope in perfect perseverance. Forgive us when we let you down and reshape us. In Jesus' name, Amen. All-knowing God, you bless us with encouragement in our dark times. You cheer us on through your Spirit in our better times. You forgive us in our worst times and are alongside us at all times. Amen. God of encouragement, you bless us by calling us by name. We are encouraged by your living word. You bless us by inviting us to serve you, and we are encouraged by your living word. You bless us through the lives of others, and we are encouraged by your living word. You entrust us to the ministry of blessing others, that we may be encouraged by your living word to your glory. Amen.
And our first reading this morning is taken from a Colossians chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to God's holy people in Colossae, the faithful brothers and sisters in Christ, grace and peace to you from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all God's people, the faith and love that spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven and about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel, excuse me, that has come to you. In the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened by all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Our psalm today is the wonderful Psalm 25. In you, Lord my God, I put my trust. I trust in you. Do not let me be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me. No one who hopes in you will ever be put to shame, but shame will come on those who are treacherous without cause. Show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me. For you are God, my Saviour, and my hope is in you all day long. Remember, Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways. According to your love, remember me, for you, Lord, are good. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore he instructs sinners in his ways. He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. All the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful towards those who keep the demands of his covenant. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be for ever. Amen.
Our second reading this morning is from Luke chapter 10, beginning at verse 25, the parable of the Good Samaritan. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law, he replied. How do you read it? He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbour as yourself. You have answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this and you will live. But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbour? In reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he travelled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have had. Now, which of these three do you think was a neighbour to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. Jesus told him, go and do likewise. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Although I have no data to back this up, I suspect it's true that the best-known parable of Jesus today, both in the church and outside the church, is the parable of the Good Samaritan. Yet what most people know of it, both Christians and non-Christians, is the bare story. In our text, not all of verses 25 to 37, but just verses 30 to 35, are the bare story itself. But we need to look at the setting, the context, the interaction between Jesus and this teacher of the law. If we read again through these verses, 25 to 37, we see the account provides two matching dialogues. Let's follow the first dialogue, verse 25. An expert of the law. In some versions, he's called a scribe, and in some versions, a teacher of the law. The law is the law of God. It's what we would call the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Old Testament. Now, he was not a lawyer merely in civil law. He's what we would call today a theologian or a Bible scholar, because the law was, in many respects, supposed to operate in the land. And then he would have some qualifications of which we would call him a lawyer. He was a sort of lawyer theologian. In other words, not only a legal expert, but a religious figure. The text says he stood up to test Jesus. A literal translation of the lawyer's question may sound more like, "Teacher, I'll inherit life eternal, having done or fulfilled or acquired what exactly?" It's a messy question and hard to put in simple words. In some ways, the question is bizarre. To inherit eternal life? If you inherit something, it's not because you've done something, it's because you belong to the right family. Clearly, what he wants to know is, how can I have eternal life? How can I be accepted by God? First, Jesus wants to know, what is in the law? You're a lawyer, you know the scriptures, you already have your answer. Tell me what it says. Jesus answers, not by answering his question, but by asking his own question to force him to rethink his position. And it's a much more personal question. How do you read it? Jesus does not think of scripture as dead and stagnant set of words that mean the same thing to everyone. The word of God is living and active. And how we read it determines how we respond to God's message. The lawyer doesn't hesitate. He begins quoting the Shema. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might." That's Deuteronomy chapter 6. And the lawyer adds part of Leviticus 19. And in this blending of the two verses gives us what we now call the Great Commandment. If we love God, we also love our neighbour. Jesus now answers the question of the lawyer in verse 28. He said, "You've answered correctly. Do this and you will live." In other words, indeed, anyone who meets this sort of standard doesn't need grace, doesn't need to inherit anything. If you really do love God with heart and soul and mind and strength, and if you really do love your neighbour as yourself, you don't need forgiveness, you don't need grace, and you don't need to belong to the right family. Go ahead, do it and live. Well, that's the first dialogue. But just as Jesus turns back to his friends, who were the 72, if you remember, still celebrating their successful mission trip, the lawyer asks a new question, and this isn't a test. It's an attempt to justify himself, to make sure that everyone listening knows how righteous he is. This man who was challenging Jesus a moment ago suddenly feels the need to get his approval, and so he asks, "Yes, but who is my neighbour?" Then the second dialogue. The lawyer probably does not see how far he fails from following the first commandment. Many conservative Jews in Palestine in Jesus' day thought that they really could love God with heart, mind, soul, and strength by following the formal requirements of the law. He probably thought it to himself. "I'm pretty good," he would have thought, "at observing the kosher food laws, and I follow the instructions of the great feasts, and I go to the temple at the appropriate times, and I understand the law. I study it. I've memorized the entire Old Testament." A man like this in Jesus' day would have memorized not only the entire Old Testament in Hebrew, but also the body of tradition which was about twice as long as that. He was a diligent student, so he probably thought, "On the loving God side, I'm not bad." On the neighbour side, even there he began to have at least a few twinges of conscience. So we're told, wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, "Who is my neighbour?" Self-justification. It's intrinsic to our self-deception, to our lying inability to face the essential self-focus and selfishness of our lives. Jesus turned back to his disciples and apostles. Remember from last week's reading, Jesus told them that their ultimate cause for rejoicing was to have their name written in heaven. Rather, it's the place of privilege that you're known by God, loved by him, accepted by him, and headed for heaven by his own grace. I said at the beginning that we need to look at the setting, the context, the interaction between Jesus and this teacher of the law, and how it fits into the message of Luke's gospel. So within the wider context of this parable in Luke's gospel, it turns on Jesus and his cross. And to inherit it, you must belong to the right family. It cannot be earned. The whole flow of Luke's narrative makes this point. The pretentiousness of this lawyer is appalling. At the superficial level, it's bad enough. He asks the initial question to test Jesus, and he asks a second question to justify himself. But at a deeper level, it's even more appalling yet, because in the light of all that Scripture says, he actually thinks he can qualify to inherit eternal life. It simply cannot be done. That suggests at the deepest level itself, outside this story world of the parable of the Good Samaritan, the only ultimate Good Samaritan is Jesus himself, because he comes to us stripped down, beaten up, broken, and pays our price, bears us to a place of safety such that we don't have to bear anything at all, and gives us life. It's never, ever, ever our good deeds that save us. Never, never. Even if you've done a lot of good things because you're now a very good, mature Christian, yet you know the contamination of your own life and imagination, and still say, "I am still an unprofitable servant." And you begin to sympathize with one of the great sayings of John Newton. "I know two things," he said. "I am a great sinner, and Christ is a great God." Newton wrote, "I'm not what I ought to be. I'm not what I want to be. I'm not what one day I will be, but I'm not what I was, and by the grace of God, I am what I am." That's the biblical theological framework in which the parable of the Good Samaritan comes to us, and it asks, to whom have you been a neighbour? Because we follow Jesus, who went this way first. The only way to get eternal life is by bowing the knee in repentance and faith to what God has already done in Jesus. He bears our sin. He takes our curse. He makes us acceptable before God, and we bow before him, motivated by his Spirit working powerfully within us. We want to follow Jesus in learning how to become good Samaritans to others because he was, first of all, the ultimate good Samaritan to us. Amen.
Our prayers now. And we say together, send us out to share your love. God of all, we pray for places where neighbouring peoples and countries are at war, asking that a just peace will overcome deep-seated fear and hatreds. May we be faithful in prayer for the Middle East, where neighbours are driven by historic mistrust and deepening violence, for decisions that improve lives across all the nations of the United Kingdom, for dialogue leading to lasting peace between Russia and Ukraine, for cooperation between nations on the biggest challenges facing us all in our world, including climate change, asylum, and migration. We turn to you, O Lord. Fill our hands with gifts to share.
Send
us
us out
out
to
to share your love. God of all, we pray for our relationships with our friends, our families, and our colleagues at work, that we would show your love in daily acts of kindness. May we be generous in our options of others. May we break down barriers and see beyond narrow expectations of other people. And may we be prepared to go beyond the limits of our own patience and care, trusting in the resources of your Holy Spirit. We turn to you, O Lord. Fill our hands with gifts to share.
Send us
out
out to share your love.
God of all, we pray for all on the edges of our communities, local and national, for people whose voices are sometimes not heard and whose opinions are overlooked. May we hear the voice of people of all ages and from every background, and may we remember that Jesus placed a child in the midst, showing us the upside-down values of your kingdom, where the smallest is greatest and the outsider belongs at your table. We turn to you, O Lord. Fill our hands with gifts to share.
Send us
out
to share your love.
God of all, we pray that our mission would always be rooted in the basics of caring for others. And may our plans, budgets, and actions put the needs of others before our own. May we be renewed for more generous living and equipped for more open-hearted attention to those in need. We pray for wisdom for all in local and national government as they make decisions that affect people who are in need, especially decisions relating to child poverty and provision for special educational needs in schools. We turn to you, O Lord. Fill our hands with gifts to share.
Send us out to share your love.
God of all, we pray for people who are suffering from sickness or distress of any kind, for bereaved people remembering especially the flood disaster in Texas, for all people fleeing war and conflict, and for all victims of bullying, racial hatred, violence, and injustice. May we have the holy imagination to see the pain in our world and be prepared to respond to it with whatever resources we have. We pray today for people who work at the front line of caring, medical staff, first responders, social workers, teachers, parents, and people whose life ministry is about binding up the wounds that life inflicts. And we place into your hands the people we know who are in need of your healing today. We think especially of Steph, Jack, Rosemary, Mary, Brian, Derek, Anne, Hilary, Brenda, Roy, Andrew, Paul, Colin, Stephen, Brian, Gerald, Roger, Ian, Sue, Cynthia, Richard, and Jean. And we pray for Rackenford School, Tiverton High School, Tiverton Hospital, and we think of the family and friends of those who have recently died, Les Tidball and Libby Ford. We turn to you, O Lord. Fill our hands with gifts to share. Send us out to share your love. God of all, we pray for your peace and grace to guide our actions, and for your love to shape us as we walk day by day with you. May we be strong, patient, and joyful in serving you, and faithful in loving our neighbour. We turn to you, O Lord. Fill our hands with gifts to share.
Send us out to share your love.
Amen.
Amen. The Collect for the Fourth Sunday after Trinity. O God, the strength of all those who put their trust in you, mercifully accept our prayers. And because through the weakness of our mortal nature, we can do no good thing without you, grant us the help of your grace, that in the keeping of your commandments we may please you, both in will and deed. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and for ever. Amen. As our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. As we go out in the world today, help us to treasure the encouraging words we have heard. May our mouths be full of encouraging words for others. Help us to look out for opportunities to share them this week. Amen. Amen. The love of the Lord Jesus draw us to himself. The power of the Lord Jesus strengthen us in his service. The joy of the Lord Jesus fill our hearts, and may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among us and remain with us and those for whom we pray today and always. Amen.